And so I'll say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our family altar. Let's sing hymn 200. Once when this solemn throng comes to me o'er and o'er, I'm nearer home today than I have been before. Nearer my home, nearer my home, nearer my home today than I have been before. Nearer my Father's house, where many mansions be. Nearer the great white throne today, nearer the crystal sea. Nearer my home, nearer my home, nearer my home today. Than I have been before. Nearer the bound of life, where burdens are laid down. Nearer to leave the cross today, and nearer to the crown. Nearer my home, nearer my home, nearer my home today, than I have been before. Be near my feet, where sleep pilgrim, for I am nearer home now. For I am nearer home today, perhaps, than now I think. Nearer my home, nearer my home, nearer my home today, than I have been before. We thank our Lord Jesus. So for this family altar this evening, we shall read together Psalms 9. Psalms 9, verse 1. In the name of Jesus, I read. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High, when my enemies turn them back. They stumble and perish before your presence, for you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations, you have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins, their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. 7. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for justice, and he judges the world with righteousness. And he judges the peoples with uprightness. 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. 11. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples his deeds. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. 13. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me, O you who lift me up from the gates of death. 14. That I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion, that I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. The Lord has made himself known. He has executed just judgment. The wicked are snared in the work of their own hands. 17. The wicked shall return to Sheol, and all the nations that forget God. 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. 19. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the nations be judged before you. 20. Put them in fear, O Lord, let the nations know that they are but men. So the title of this psalm is to the chief musician or to the choir master. And it is according to Muv Laban. So this Muv Laban is probably a musical or a liturgical term, where there are some who say this is written to the chief musician to the tune of the death of the psalm of the son, a psalm of David. So this the title already indicates for us that David wrote this psalm to God himself, who was generally regarded as the chief musician. So it is also popularly known tune in this day, or what is known as in Hebrew, Muv Laban. So in this psalm, David celebrates the help and the goodness of God with a big nation for the nations. So many people will believe that this Muv Laban is actually a tune, or some even say it is an instrument upon which the song is being played, where it is associated with the title, The Death of the Son. So therefore, in the ancient Chaldean version also says, it is concerning the death of the champion who went out between the camps, referring to Goliath. Therefore, some say, perhaps David wrote this psalm in remembrance of his victory over Goliath, for that from it they have actually experienced many years from that time since they were triumphant over Goliath. Therefore, in Psalms, now we shall see the contents of Psalms 9. So Psalms 9 in verse 1 and 2, here he praised God of how God dealt with the enemy. For he was singing praises to the Lord God who does great things. Verse 1 and 2, where David recognized that God was worthy of praise with his whole heart. So his entire being would be directed in his affection towards the Lord God, where David described a very important and often neglected way of praising God, that is by telling all of his marvelous works. So by remembering and telling the great things that God has done is indeed a wonderful way of praising him. When we talk about wonderful works or marvelous works or wonderful deeds or things, this is actually often than not is being used in the psalm to describe great redemptive miracles or even in their experience of the Lord. So David at that time, he was glad and was rejoicing in the Lord. For at that time, he also described another way to praise God, that is to simply find and expressing gladness and joy in God. So therefore, he was praising the name of the Lord God Most High. So he praised the Lord, this is the third way, with his whole heart. He sang praise to the name of God. Therefore, the idea is to honor and celebrate the great nature of God, where we recognize him as the great, as the Most High. Just as at that time in the book of Genesis, it says that God was also so first called by Melchizedek as the Most High. Then from verse 3 to 5, David continued to praise God, for God had defended him against his enemy. Where in the first two verses of this psalm, David described the general reasons as to why he praised God. And now these reasons are always valid. And now he also recounted another reason more specific to his present situation. So he praised God for the way that the Most High had defeated his enemy. For David could see that God was moving against his enemies by defending him on the principle of right and wrong in this conflict that he has. So this shows to us that the God of David, that is the God in this Bible, is always is not dispassionate regarding right and wrong. He is not always neutral. It is always entirely true that man may think that God is on their side when he is not. Or even they may say that God is against both parties in a dispute. But we can say here, David could say, the Lord has maintained my right and my cause. And David continued to see that God was in action among the nations, rightly judging the wicked. For the Lord sat on the throne, rebuked the nations, and even blotted their name forever and ever. So next, from verses 6 to 8, David also celebrated the victory of the Lord, where he could see that, and he says in verse 6, the enemy came to an everlasting ruins. So David at that time shifted his focus from speaking directly to the Lord, now to address the enemies whom the Lord had defeated. So David assured them that all their evil work of destruction would come to an end, but the Lord shall endure forever. So we can see David was wise and humble enough to know that God would judge the wicked for being his own enemy instead of becoming the enemies of David. And the Lord will administer judgment for the people in all uprightness. So David looked forward to the eventual and ultimate rule of God over all nations. So this is actually a description or expression of the righteous judgment of the Lord God. And 1,000 years later, Apostle Paul also quoted this as he spoke on the Areopagus, saying that the Lord shall judge the world in righteousness in Acts chapter 17. And next, he also praised God for how he treated the oppressed. For God is a trustworthy judge. So David was more grateful that God did more than just to judge the wicked. He also was a refuge and support those who were oppressed by the wicked. So in times of trouble, so here we can see that the Lord had delivered him. So those who put to know the name of God will put their trust in him. So David knew that the help wasn't just given because God favored some people or even opposed the people, but rather because his people seek to have a relationship with him, to know his name, to have faith in him, to put their trust in him, and they will seek after him. So today we can see that when a child is forsaken by God, indeed it is a very, very sad feeling, or it is a serious trial, especially when we have sin, great trouble, or we have some great job to do, or even when we feel our prayers are unanswered. Then from verses 11 to 12, he continued to sing praise to God, for the Lord remembers his people. So at that time, David exhorted others what to do that he had really done in his psalm, that is to praise the Lord and to declare his deeds among the people. So here, David actually showed to the people among them to know those who praise God, that it is those who praise God, they will also draw other people to praise the Lord in this way. So when he avenges against them, he will remember them. He does not forget the cry of the humble. So David at that time called the others to also praise God for the same reason, because God helped them to overcome the oppressed and even give grace to the humble. So it reminds us that even God will remember. So God is indeed, for He has heard our cry, He will remember, and at the end He will also answer our prayer. And then from verses 13 to 14, David continued to make a plea for mercy from the Lord God who remembers. So he asked God to remember him, to remember the cry of the humble, to remember him in the season of his trouble, so that he'll be able to tell all the more the praise of the Lord. So David wanted God to rescue him so that he could give God all the more praise, so that all the more passionately he was able to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord God. And lastly, from verses 15 to 16, at that time, David mentioned concerning the destiny, or rather the end of this wicked. For he understood that the triumph of God to be complete, so that his enemies will be ensnared in the same trap that is snared for others. Even the best plans and efforts of those who oppose God will end up to serve his purpose. Just like Esau and Isaac, they also wanted to go against the purpose of God, but at the end they have to serve the purpose of God. The brothers of Joseph, they also fought against the plan of God, but finally they only had to further this plan. Haman built a gallows for Mordecai the Jew, but at the end only to be executed upon himself. Of course, this does not justify what the evil has done. And the Lord is known by the judgment in which He executes. For the greatness of God is demonstrated in the way that He can use the plans and efforts of the ungodly while He will bring righteous judgment upon them. And then the last part, He also appealed to the Lord God who judges in righteousness, where the Lord God will deal with both the wicked and the humble. So come, now David is approaching the conclusion of the psalm, where he considered the end of the wicked, that is the ultimate destruction in hell. Then the last, we can also see that the needy will not be forgotten. So David actually showed us a very beautiful contrast. The wicked try to forget God, yet the needy and poor, meaning to say those who are godly, who are oppressed by these enemies of God, they are not forgotten. So God will not forget us. Then the last part, from verses 19 to 20, he appealed to God to glorify himself among the nations. So previously in this psalm, David already expressed a confidence in the judgment of God towards the wicked and his vindication of the righteous. We know, and finally, he also says, "Let the nations be judged in your sight." So David again expressed his confidence in the judgment of God of this wicked. But this did not lead to David to have a heart of hatred against mankind or being unhealthy happily in this judgment. His real hope was just that God would display judgment and to teach these nations to properly place before God. So this is actually a place of humility, where the humble are always remembered before God. Therefore, this was a prayer for God to reach out the nations through the display of His judgment. So we thank God, and now we shall reserve our time for our prayer. So in our prayer, we continue to ask our Lord Jesus to continue to guide and lead us. Shall we now, in one accord, in the name of Jesus, kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Or Let us recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our family altar for this evening shall end here. God bless.